You're listening to Life in Deep Ellum's podcast.
Hey friends, this is Chris from the Cultural Center. Last weekend, Joel's sermon focused on finding your authentic voice and expressing it somehow. In his sermon, he interviewed Jonyel Kastner, Carson Gray, and Courtney Cleveland to discuss this theme. If you missed it or just want to recap, here are their interviews again. Enjoy.
Hello, ladies.
Hey, Joel.
Hi.
If you'll introduce yourself to the people.
Hey, Lied family. I am Jonyel Kastner, and I made Untitled Dad Project.
And I'm Carson McCain, sometimes Carson McCain Gray, and I directed Untitled Dad Project.
Awesome. If you'll just tell us about this podcast journey, like what led you to making this project?
Yeah, so growing up, I never really knew the story of why my dad wasn't in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Which maybe if you're really alone, like I had some weird secret, but I now better understand that a lot of us grow up sort of intuitively understanding the things we shouldn't bring up or the rooms we shouldn't enter in order to keep our families afloat.
Compensating,
or,
right?
Yeah, exactly. And so about middle of my 20s, I got my dad's email address. So I started drafting an email to reach out to him, like big inciting moment, like music will kick in here. This will be a big moment for me. And I started drafting and redrafting over the course of 6 months. And then I was notified that my dad had died suddenly before I could send him anything. And he was declared dead on my birthday.
Oh, geez.
Which to me felt like so literary.
Yeah.
Like so obviously literary. Like he dies the day I was born.
Mm-hmm.
And then I find out through the course of the funeral arrangements that none of his friends knew that I existed. So then I get like looped into this man's funeral proceedings as the surprise bastard daughter,
mm-hmm.
which felt very soap opera to me. So I just, keep having these experiences where I'm like, I'm not in the story I want to be.
Yeah.
This isn't my story. Like, who can I talk to about this?
Yeah.
And I had a really hard time making any emotional sense out of any of this. I didn't understand what had just opened up inside of me that felt like grief because I didn't have a dad. I was fine, Joel.
Yeah,
and
of course.
I was fine. Yeah. Very importantly, I was so fine.
And thriving.
And thriving, mind you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I want that on the record.
Yeah.
But it didn't make sense because I didn't have a dad.
Mm-hmm.
He's dead. I'll continue to not have a dad. Then what just happened to me?
Mm-hmm.
Why am I suddenly upside down?
Mm-hmm.
So in lieu of emotional sense, I decided to make narrative sense out of it because I'm a writer. So I was like, okay, I'm going to figure out my own story.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to talk to experts in storytelling or experts in my dad's life as a dad character, experts in my life. And we're going to figure out the story that I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to take the powerful writer role. I'm going to
disassociate
and hover above this giant character who seems to be sad about something.
Yeah.
And I knew I wanted it to be intimate. And so I thought it could be a podcast. But what I really understand now is that I just wanted an excuse to talk to people about what had just happened to me. So I came up with an elaborate game to do so.
Yep.
And
makes
I also
sense.
Wanted a director to help me make my art better than it was. Cause it was, I mean, this has been, we made it over the course of 5 years.
Yep.
And I needed help. And so I brought in Carson.
Yeah. And so we weren't really sure what my role was going to be other than to help.
Because you have experience with directing theater and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, directing theater, producing podcasts. By that time, I knew how to edit a little bit. And so we were like, we can do this.
Yeah, we can make a podcast real quick.
And so, but we didn't know at the time that I was going to end up as a voice on the podcast.
Yeah.
For a while, I was just in Jan's ears.
And so like when I listen to the episodes, I really notice an emphasis of this friendship, this kind of like this deep support that's happening.
Yeah. And we didn't know that at first. I think we thought this was going to be Jonyel's story of learning who her dad was to her. And instead this became a story of grief and pain and the people that are there for you when you need them.
Yeah. For me, it was about finding out that I had a friend who was willing to sit in the pit of hell with me.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. And that I was okay not being okay.
Yeah.
And
so tell me a little bit. I'm sorry, Carson. Tell me a little bit about your experience there with pulling away from your story and having to dissect your own story, which is really me. Like I'm dissecting me.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any experiences where that really brought some insight to you?
Yeah. I mean, sometimes it was just like what someone said to me as an outsider, because I talked to Robert McKee, who's this really big deal in the screenwriting
community. Yeah, he's one of the early episodes, right?
Yes. Well, yeah. We made him the very first one for a very important reason, is that I sit down like ready to be like, okay, I'm going to charm an expert and make a great podcast with him. And he took me seriously. He's like, if you want to figure out your story, let's look at these factors. And at one point he goes, oh, okay, okay, I see, I see. Your mother's a liar, your father's a coward, and your whole life has been a lie. What?
Yeah, I remember listening to that and just getting pissed.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, there's a lot to be like angry about the delivery there. But what I appreciated is he was taking me seriously. Mm-hmm. He wasn't trying to make me feel better. He was looking at the pieces of my story, and that's what he saw. And I think he was a little reductive on a lot of those points. But the thing that felt interesting was like, your whole life has been a lie.
Yeah.
How do you know if your whole life has been a lie? Oh, well, probably if you're not being honest about what the fact that pain has been a part of your story from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. What that opened up for me throughout the whole journey was realizing that like, I'm not in the story that I thought I was. And maybe that's an incredible thing to realize, because I was telling myself the story of, I didn't know I was doing this, but the story of the exceptional girl who manages to like hop or leap or like attack every pain that could come her way and is fine and is doing amazing, you guys. And it turns out the story I was actually in was one of a very ordinary girl with regular pain. Of just not having a father is a very regular foundational pain. And by listening to that, like, your life is a lie. What is that? I was able to sort of objectively look at it and see, oh, wow. Because in that first story, that you can be exceptional, but you're all alone.
Yeah.
You have to chop down everything that could penetrate you. In the second story of a regular girl with ordinary pain, I have a lot of people in that story with me. I can connect with people over a lot of our shared ordinary pain.
Yeah, what I hear in that first story is something flashy, right? But the second story is far more compelling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the honest truth is way more compelling, it turns out. Who knew? And I'm really grateful for that experience, because like treating myself as the writer, that sort of disassociative thing that I was doing to kind of like stay safe, meant that I could attack my story with a lot more rigor and integrity, because I'm braver as a writer than I am as a human daughter. Yeah.
I think most of us are like that.
Yeah.
I'm curious, Carson, for you, what kind of like came up for you in this process? How did this impact you?
Yeah. So, in the same way that I think we realized Janya likes to avoid pain and grief, I realized I really love to sit with people in it.
Give them space.
Yeah. And so about halfway through making this podcast, I went back to graduate school for counseling.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
Thank you. When I went back to school, I also realized that we had accidentally stumbled upon an established therapy technique.
Yeah. It's like in a book already.
Yeah, called narrative therapy.
So help all of us people who don't have graduate degrees in counseling understand what that means.
Yeah, so it's a practice of therapy that says it's really important to know your own story and to look at your story as a sequence of events where you can incorporate your values, the things that really, really matter to you. You can incorporate the pain and the trauma, the things you wish didn't happen to you, grieve them, feel them deeply, feel all the feelings about them.
Yeah.
And then integrate them and allow them to be a part of your story, but choosing what to do about it.
What I hear you girls talking about is a journey, like a really holy call to come to fully accept our story.
Yeah.
And just to kind of close this interview out, could you share with me and share with us why you think people don't like to hear their own voice?
Well, because it's inherently awful. And I think that might be part of like our animal bodies, because there's no place in nature where you can hear your voice back at you, except for in like a cave. Yeah. And we love that.
Hello.
Yeah. We love that. It's like instinctual. But like on a, like a deeper emotional level, I think it's because like we're not who we think we are almost ever.
And we want to avoid that.
Yeah. And it wasn't until we had like the exposure therapy of spending like 18 hours a week listening to our voices that we could, as Carson say, like be honest about what we sound like.
Oh, I stutter or I make weird pauses.
Exactly. Oh, she said a word like that and then accept it and then be honest with it and integrate it.
Yeah. What do you think, Carson?
I think too, it's so easy to judge those things when they're us. You know, I can control myself. Why can't I do better? But when you are honest in a non-judgmental way and really look at yourself, you can say, that's a thing I do. If I want to change it, I can.
That's awesome.
It doesn't have to be a gross muscling of something you hate about yourself.
I love this. So thank you, girls, for sharing with us.
Thanks, Joel.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, and here's Joel's second interview with Courtney Cleveland.
Hey, everyone. I'm here with Miss Courtney Cleveland.
Hello. Miss you.
And so Courtney's all over social media, but she has a podcast. Tell us about your podcast.
I do. It's called All the Best Days, where we explore the art of the quick trip and looking for the best day in every city.
Why did you choose traveling for your podcast?
Yeah, I picked traveling because it was something that I wasn't going to run out of material on. It's evergreen. And honestly, because it was safe, just trying to not be criticized.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I don't like this about myself.
Navigate the criticism. Yeah. Has that always been kind of a part of your life?
A great example of this is in high school. I would tell everyone my favorite band was Dave Matthews because nobody had, I mean, that was approved by everyone. And I was really listening to Amy Grant, and I can't say that.
Yeah, exactly. So. Oh, I totally feel you there. Tell us a little bit about this thing I keep seeing pop up, the hashtag to the nips.
To the nips! Yes, to the nips is a moment I found myself in on Instagram when I was telling him my stories that I had been watching Real Housewives and Vicky from the OC was getting her neck done. And I was like, oh my gosh, I've never like moisturized my neck.
I don't even understand that.
No, yeah. You do. I know you watch Real Housewives. You're fine. And so I called my sister and I'm like, we need to be taking care of our necks. And she goes, oh my gosh, I read in 17 magazine growing up that our face goes all the way to our nipples. And I was like, what?
Boom.
That casts a whole new vision for skincare.
Yes.
Take it all the way down.
We just zoomed out there. So, I mean, from watching your social media endeavors and just how you put yourself out there in such a beautiful way, I would imagine some people would assume Courtney has no problem with like insecurity or vulnerability. Is that true?
You would be very wrong. And I think it's just taken a long time of navigating who gets to have those pieces of you, the really inside scoop, and who gets to have the outside scoop. And what I like about To the Nips and All the Best Days and sharing my mom with people is just that I am trying to be vulnerable about these areas of my life. And
but it's almost like there's an appropriate vulnerability, right?
Yes, I think so. In a way that like I've processed behind the scenes and I'm not afraid of being criticized for talking about nipples or whatever. Yeah. It's just like a little window. An experience I had in high school would just be that I would talk about this stuff with a group of girls, five girls, and four would be like, I don't know why you're talking about nipples and you need to get away from me.
Yeah.
And one girl would lean in and be like, tell me more. So I just think it's a good entry point to say, I want to connect with you. I want to be more vulnerable with you, but we don't have to necessarily do that online.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So I would love to just hear from your gut. Why do you think vulnerability is important?
I just think it's an important practice of putting yourself out there and experiencing it, seeing who gives it back and who shuns it away and experiencing those feelings. Because then you remember what it feels like to respond that way. That's the stuff that changes your brain. I think these experiences of like, it might be received and it might not be, but then that person might return and say, hey, you shared about this earlier. I want to talk more about it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry that I put you down. I don't know.
I agree with that 100%. And your story about the 4 out of 5 people has been my experience too, that I think in our culture, there's just a lot of fear. And vulnerability just like pokes at it.
Of being misunderstood. We're so afraid of being misunderstood and all we want to do is be seen. And I just think we need to assume the best about each other and lean in. Tell me more.
To quote Brené Brown, the queen of vulnerability, right?
She's the queen.
Show up, be brave. Thanks for joining me, Courtney.
Thanks, Joel.